Now, on the line, I have Mary O'Connor, and she is chairperson of Survivors of Symphysiotomy. Trying to get that one out first thing in the morning. And but we're going to be talking about the new National Maternity Hospital and the proposed continued religious control of the hospital. Good morning, Mary. How are you?
Good morning, Michael. I'm very well, thank you. And just to maybe add there that I'm actually speaking on behalf of the campaign against church ownership of women's healthcare today. Yeah,
indeed. And we've spoken, I think, on two separate occasions previously.
We have indeed. Yeah.
And I have to say, I thought we wouldn't be coming back to this issue, but I note that last Tuesday was the third anniversary of Repeal the Eighth, and I think it was probably an appropriate time to bring this issue up again and to get a check-in to see what's happening and where it is at. So maybe you'd run through that for us.
Well, in a nutshell, it now looks like the planned new maternity hospital will cost taxpayers up to €1 billion, if not more. But the state is set to own only the shell of the hospital and will have no involvement whatsoever in the private company set to own the new facility, nor any role in its operations.
So the public are paying for the building, paying for it to be built, obviously probably paying, some, as you say, probably around €1 billion for the total construction. And then they're going to give a contract to a private, even though maybe a non-for-profit company, to operate the hospital, who will then operate it in within certain guidelines, but with inside their own, what would be the moral moralities, shall we say?
That's right. The new maternity hospital at Elm Park is said to be owned by a company belonging to the Religious Sisters of Charity. This company is called St. Vincent's Holdings, and it ties. The problem is that it sees itself as providing services within a religious framework, and it actually ties those services to ethos. And it also, the Constitution, which of course we only saw for the first time last year, envisages a couple of different ways in which this ethos can be enforced. The first one is through leasing arrangements, and the second one is through job terms and conditions. Now, the leasing arrangements appear to have been agreed in that it has now emerged that the state, the HSE, has agreed to license the nuns' management company, St. Vincent's Healthcare Group, to actually operate this hospital in tandem with the National Maternity Hospital at Elm Park. So this gives them a strong role in the governance of the hospital, and it's quite clear that the state will have no input whatsoever into this. And in fact, the holding company has said officially that the state will have no involvement in the new hospital. So it looks like we're going to pay, but we are not going to own in any meaningful sense, and we are certainly not going to control what happens there.
And the thing on this, I think, as well, is it's not just that we're going to pay for the building, but we'll then pay for all the staff as well.
That's right. Well, the new building, I mean, we've seen a figure of £500 million, and it's not going to stop there, because these estimates for these new hospitals generally don't include non-fixed equipment, such as hospital beds. And 3 years ago, the HSE said that the cost of a new hospital bed now was €1 million per bed. So this already, in the first year, after the new build is completed, will We're looking at a cost of 244 million euro in addition to, and then on top of that, you're looking at diagnostics, you're looking at information technology, and therefore we expect that in the after it's been built, the HSC will be charged with actually putting in all this non-fixed equipment, and the cost is going to come back to us, the public. So we're looking here, give or take, at up to €1 billion and maybe more. Look at what happened with the National Children's Hospital.
Indeed.
We actually don't know what we're on the slate for here. But what is clear is that the cost is going to be really, really significant to the public.
I have a major bugbear of mine is the way that costings are done, development costs are done by the state here on virtually anything they do. They seem to go put out a tender, will pick the cheapest tender, and then we'll start to actually put the plans together. And suddenly all the costs start to rack up, even though they have already chosen their preferred developer. They only, once they've done that, then they only start to plan what they actually want them to do. So the costs go up. Although to start off, it could seem to be the cheapest, but at the end of the day, it'll just rack up and rack up and rack up. So that's, if we put that aside, because that's a total bugbear of mine, what really gets me on this one is that after paying out all this money, after the people of this country voting 3 years ago to repeal the Eighth and to open up women's healthcare, to give women the choice of how they want their healthcare to proceed, we're going to give control of the hospital to somebody who is not going to, shall we say, stick with the guidelines that the public have set. That really bugs me. And I don't understand it. And I don't understand how so-called intelligent politicians cannot see that.
Well, the National Maternity Hospital at Hollow Street agreed to the takeover bid made by the congregation back in 2016. So we're looking at how this played out. And the problem is here that the nuns haven't gone away. They still own the lands at Ellen Park, as well as the hospitals, of course, but the land is what really matters, because they own the site on which the new hospital is to be built. And the problem with this is that the owners of the site, namely the nuns, are actually bound by church law. Now, last year, March 2020, the Vatican wrote to the congregation, gave them permission to go ahead with their plans on condition that certain canon laws were to be observed. These are the church laws. One of them requires precautions to be taken, and I'm quoting here, to avoid harm to the church. And the definition of harm includes, and I'm quoting again, activity which gives rise to grave harm to ecclesiastical teaching. Now, if the order doesn't comply with this, then the deal with the Vatican is off. And when you look at it, abortion is probably the most serious crime of all under church law. So you then have to ask yourself what precautions are being taken by the nuns and have been taken to satisfy Rome that no services will be provided in the new hospital that could possibly undermine church teaching. So what's come to light here really is new information, and that information relates particularly to the lease given by the nuns to the state. We have to remember here that the congregation is now set to become the landlord of the state. And this lease, the most important condition in it is that the state has to license the nuns' management company to operate the hospital. And this company, as I mentioned, is St. Vincent's Healthcare Group. And this is actually being done. So, look at the constitution of the new company, the nuns' new holding company, which is actually set to own the operations of the hospital. That constitution sets out the values of the sisters of the nuns, and these values are spelled out again in a job description from St. Vincent University Hospital. But let's stick with the constitution of the new holding company for a minute. They tie, as I said, the provision of services to ethical compliance. And what this means is that from their point of view, they're looking at how this can be done, and they see two ways of doing it. One is through leasing, and then the other is through job terms and conditions. So, you know, it gets more and more and more worrying. You've got the license for the management company, the nuns' management company, and then you've got a job description for staff nurses at St. Vincent's University Hospital. And this was published in 2019. And it makes for very, very interesting reading indeed, because, first of all, it sets out very, very clearly that the philosophy of St. Vincent's Healthcare Group is that of the Religious Sisters of Charity. And there's even a statement there which the company is actually committed to developing healthcare going forward in line with the philosophy, mission and values of the nuns. So it really does look like the writing is on the wall here. And the job description sets out that terms of employment are tied to ethical adherence to compliance with the hospital's codes of ethical practice. Now, these codes aren't attached, but it's implicit, absolutely, that they are tied, as you might expect, to the core values of the Religious Sisters of Charity. And so there isn't really too much left to tie up here. It's quite obvious that, first of all, you've got the license, then you've got the ethos, you've got the commitment to future healthcare. It's got to be the case that future healthcare includes the acquisition of the new maternity hospital. So the enforcement of the Catholic ethos in the hospital is something that nobody can doubt any longer.
Yeah, this all, I find this all very hard to understand. It's so complicated. I come from a background, I worked in supermarkets. And I, at one stage, worked within the property department of a very large supermarket. And so I know a little bit about property. I won't say I'm an expert or anything, but I know a little bit about property. And there's a thing called a compulsory purchase order, which most local authorities do on a regular basis. When they need a piece of land for public use, they produce a compulsory purchase order. It takes a few months to go through, and you know, people are allowed to to and fro, but basically market value is paid for the land and that's it. And I don't understand why the government didn't just go along and say, look, we're going to need this land here. It's for the public good. We're going to do this. So it's a compulsory purchase order we're placing on you here. There you go. We're going to build the hospital. So they just buy the land straight out. There's no dealing with the Vatican. There's no dealing with anything like that. It's a compulsory purchase order. It's all straightforward in law to do that. You buy the land. You build the hospital. You set out then how you want the hospital to be run, and you can turn around. I have no objection to the Sisters of Charity running the hospital, as long as they stick within the guidelines of how the government or the HSC set out how it is to be run and what procedures and so forth are to be carried out there. I have great admiration for nuns who have done Trojan work down the years, but they shouldn't have an ability to say what type of healthcare somebody gets. That is the purview of the Department of Health and the HSC. I think the government have just made this so complicated. It's a very simple thing to do. You purchase the land, you compulsory purchase the land, you build the hospital. The people of this country are going to be paying the wages of the staff that are in there, so they should be employees of the state.
Well, just to say that the position of the campaign is that the nuns should be asked to gift the land to the state, as they already announced they were doing. They said they were giving it to the people of Ireland, and the people are the state. So it's obvious that the state has to build on land that's publicly owned. There's no question about that. And then if the order feels that they cannot, for some reason, do this, then, of course, the answer has to be CPO on the site. And, of course, 100 million has already been spent developing that site out of the public purse, on a car park, on a pharmacy and a couple of other things. So in order to realise that investment and in order to make sure that women can access a full range of health services in reproductive health care, this is the way it's got to go. The land has got to be owned by the state. But secondly, you raise there the question of the nuns running the hospital. It's not really as simple as that. I mean, the running of the hospital is going to be entrusted to a company. And this is where the licensing comes in. And this is why the nuns looked for that license for their own management company, so that they could actually operate the hospital. There is no question of the nuns being able to provide services that are banned by Rome. I don't think anybody would even expect them to do that. And they're just simply not going to do it. Services banned by the church have never been available in any of Vincent's hospitals. And we're talking here services that many people might consider, you know, harmless, artificial contraception, planned sterilisation, IVF. None of those have ever been available in any Vincent's hospitals, and everybody knows that. And that point was made recently by Dr. Peter Boylan, who said that every gynaecologist in the country knew that these services were not available and never were available in Vincent's hospitals. So going back then to the running of the hospital, it's got to be in public hands, Michael. I mean, there is no other solution, because if the nuns are going to run it, then it's going to be licensed to one of the nuns' companies. That's the state of affairs we have at the moment. But it's just not going to wash, because for the simple reason that here in Ireland, under Irish law, the state cannot compel a private Catholic company to provide services that are contrary to its ethos. And that's really the bottom line here. There is no way of compelling any private company to do what it doesn't want to do because of constitutional and other legal rights. So the only solution is for the hospital to be built on public land. But also, it's got to be fully public-owned and publicly run. And that is the only way we're going to see a secular ethos which will allow staff to freely provide the full range of services that women need for their own health and safety. in obstetrics and gynaecology.
I have to say, I totally agree with you. But for our listeners out there, what can our listeners do? How can they support this? Is it they have to contact their local TDs and tell them?
That's right, Michael. Sorry, I hope I'm not interrupting you there, because you've hit the nail on the head. We want people to write to their TDs, and we want them to tell them what they think of the current plan and what they think the plan should be, because it's not too late. And I think from some of the recent debates there in the Dáil, some of the statements that have been made, however well-meaning, including by the Taoiseach there recently, it just seems to be the case that all of these assurances that we've been given since 2017, that these are being taken as read. Whereas we now know that we've actually got these documents. We've got all this new information. We can see that those assurances were not well-based. In fact, they've no basis whatsoever, because all of these documents, in one way or another, are legal documents. So we know that this is what underpins everything. At the end of the day, it's the lease, it's the constitution, and it's the job contracts. That's what it is. And it comes down to that. So behind all the fine words and all of the reassurances that were handed out so freely 4 years ago, this is the reality. And it is extremely concerning. And we've got to get it right. Everybody wants to see the new maternity hospital built as quickly as possible. But we've got to get it right, because this affects our daughters. It's going to affect our granddaughters. It's going to affect, of course, everybody in society in one way or another, because it's going to be a national maternity hospital. People are even going to be referred from different parts of the country, women who've got complicated pregnancies, for example. But here in Dublin, above all, it's going to be a local hospital for so many women and men. It's going to be where their child is born. We've got to get it right, because if we don't, future generations will be paying the price forever. We do not want to see another Savita Halepanavar in this country ever, ever again. And referrals in the case of septic miscarriage are, they're no use. I mean, they really are no use. And therefore, the full range of services have got to be provided. It's a matter of entitlements, of rights, of human rights. That's what it is, and we've got to get it right. It's a massive investment by us, all of us. Every single person in the country pays taxes all the time, every day, and it should be ours. If we pay, then we should own it, and we should also be in charge of what happens inside it.
Mary, you're quite right, but unfortunately we've run out of time. Thank you for coming on, but I would like to impress upon our listeners, you have to get up and do something about this, because it's going to affect generations to come, for decades to come. So it needs to be got right now. Mary, thank you very much for chatting to us this morning.
Thank you very much indeed, Michael, for having me on.
No problem. All the best. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There we go there. That was Mary O'Connor, who happens to be the chairperson of Survivors of Symphysioptomy. I'm really getting tongue-tied on that one. But this is a really, really important issue for our listeners out there, particularly our female listeners, but not just our female listeners. It's for everybody. And it's going to affect our whole society for decades and generations to come.